Jesus, you are great. You are great. Oh, there's a spirit of worship and praise and freedom to celebrate Him. Let's just go ahead with that right now. Jesus, we praise You. You are great, oh God. You are greatly to be praised, Jesus. There's nobody like You, Lord. We've searched the world and we know that there's nobody like You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. It feels good in the house tonight. It feels good online. I know you can experience this in your home. We've all done it. We've experienced the power and the presence of the Lord when we come together, but we've experienced it at home as well. There's just a freedom to worship Him. There's a want to in this atmosphere to worship and praise the Lord. He's been so good. Go ahead and do it another time. There's many already doing it. Jesus, You're worthy. We give You praise, God. We declare Your greatness, Lord. You are great, oh God. And we worship You. We worship You. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank You so much, praise team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord and for Your willingness to go. We didn't have to drag nobody tonight. Everybody's wanting to be in the presence of the Lord. And so I'm thankful to be in that kind of an atmosphere. You can be seated. We're going to turn our attention to the word of the Lord. And just hear and receive what God wants to talk to us about, teach us. I don't know if this is going to be preaching or teaching. Maybe it'll be treaching. I don't know. I just maybe made up a word. But we're just going to go and see what the Lord wants to do and how He's going to minister to us. I want to take your attention to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'm just going to read that one verse so you can remain seated. But Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6, and I received a text while we were singing, "Great Are You, Lord," that Pastor and Sister Williford have boarded their flight in Chicago to come home. So they are on their way, folks. Amen. It's real. It's finally real. They're coming home. So do pray for them. Please listen to me, but do pray for them as we are looking to the word of the Lord. We can do both, right? We can multitask. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, very familiar passage of Scripture, especially around this time of year, but really all throughout the year it is true and it is applicable. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And I just want to preach for a few moments from this title, "His Name Shall Be Called." His name shall be called. Now, names are important. Your name is important. Think how difficult it would be to get the right person's attention in a room of crowded people without names. Or how difficult it might be to differentiate between persons. We would have to resort to descriptors like tall, or in my case, short. Dark hair, light hair, no hair. How confusing it can be to try to point someone out without names. We would have to say things like, "You know, the guy who wears a button-down shirt, he wears pants and a belt and sometimes wears a hat and he wears cowboy boots." How much easier it is to say Roy Rogers. Right, Brother Reaver? How much easier it is to use a name when you're trying to identify someone specifically. Names are important because they identify and they provide accessibility. Yelling, "Hey you," in a crowded room may not give you access to the person that you're intending to talk to, but a name will. If I just yelled out, hey, in this room, if whoever heard me would probably turn their head. But if I was specifically wanting Jason Lindsay's attention, I would need to say, Jason, Brother Jason, Brother Lindsay, one of those forms of his name. I would need to call out a name. So names are important. They identify and they provide access to the person that you're intending to talk to. And names, each of our names, sometimes names get passed down to us generation to generation. Anybody in here named after somebody? Couple people, lots of people. Michael McGuire, you came to mind as I was hoping that you remembered that your dad's name is also Michael McGuire. So yes, you are named after your father, Michael McGuire. But names are passed down. So sometimes there's junior versions of individuals, or sometimes there's just a piece of a name that may be passed down, whether it's your first name or your middle name or even a shortened form of one of those. Elisa, my sister, is named after my Aunt Lisa, my mom's sister. Only my mom slapped an A on the front, and then she changed the I to a Y, giving her the name Elisa with the spelling A-L-Y-S-A, and the struggle began. And the struggle is real for Elisa, y'all. Rarely does anyone, when seeing her name in print, say it correctly the first time. She's been called Alyssa, Alicia. She's even been called Elisha. Elisha. I don't understand. Poor thing. Please pray for her as well. But sometimes names are passed down to honor a loved one or to keep a family name going. Sometimes there are special stories that are associated with names. And I remembered that the Bachmans had specifically chosen Max's name. So I reached out to Toby to get the backstory, and she wrote back, and I quote, "All of my kids' names have special meaning. My name, Toby, is actually Hebrew for God is good. And it's always been special to me knowing that my name had meaning. And I wanted to do the same for my kids. When I was pregnant with Audrey, at 7 weeks, they told me I was having an inevitable miscarriage. But we prayed, and here she is. So Audrey means noble strength, and her middle name, Janae, means God answers prayer. We prayed, and God gave her strength to survive. We spelled Maddie's name with two T's for two reasons. One, it is a family spelling, and two, because we took from the meaning of Matthew, which means gift of God. Her middle name is Belle, meaning beautiful, so she's our beautiful gift of God. She was a gift in the middle of the tragedy of losing my mom. And Maximus means the greatest. And his middle name is Jude, which means praise. Jude from my mom's name, Judy. So his full name means the greatest praise. And I love that their names share the story of God's goodness to the Bachman family. With Audrey, God prevented a tragedy and answered a prayer with strength for her survival. And with Maddie, God intervened in a tragedy with a beautiful gift. And Max's name is a reminder that there can be praise even where there is tragedy. And Toby continues with this. Max's name means the greatest praise. And as part of Aaron's testimony when he was getting the Holy Ghost, he had heard that hallelujah was the greatest praise. And so he thought to himself, if that's the best I can do, that's what I'm going to do. So he began saying hallelujah, and I think it was around the third hallelujah that he saw a ball of light come, and as soon as it hit him, he began to speak in tongues. So every time they think of the meaning of Max's name, they think of the great testimony that we have in Aaron's salvation. Names are special. Names are meaningful. Names are very particular and specific in some instances, and that was the case in Scripture as well. Names were descriptive, and sometimes they were even prescriptive. Hebrew names typically reflected God in some way. You will see the English letters E-L or the English letters J-A-H or just A-H on the end of a name, indicating God. That was one of the derivative forms of the name of God, Elohim, El. They shortened it to El, and then Yahweh was shorted to that A-H or J-A-H. Such is the case of Daniel. The E-L on the end is the descriptor for God, his name meaning God is my judge. Isaiah, the A-H on the end of that, meaning Yahweh, meaning making his name mean Yahweh is salvation. Elijah, he's got two. He's got El at the beginning and he's got Yah at the end. We don't say Yah, we don't say it the Hebrew way. So we say Jah, Elijah, or for Elisa we say Elisha. We say Elijah, the E-L at the beginning meaning God, and then the Yah at the end declaring Yahweh, his name meaning my God is Yahweh. And so names are significant in the Old Testament, but names are significant even today. In biblical phrases, you find these often, his name shall be called, or thou shalt call his name. These phrases are used in reference to several individuals in Scripture. It's said of Noah, Jacob, when his name was changed to Israel, Abraham and Sarah, John, and others. The list goes on. And so due to our close proximity to Christmas, this lesson is focusing on the instances relating to Jesus. And when these phrases are used, the intent was mostly informational, to inform what the name of the child should be. And the significance of God being given a name is one perhaps hard for us to fully comprehend or fully appreciate in our context. But if you were a Jew in that time, you worshiped a nameless God. In the Old Testament, you worshiped a nameless God. He did not have a name, and even still today, Orthodox Jews will not utter the name of God or write it out of respect to that name. But without a name, Moses had to ask, who are you? What is your name? When I go to Egypt to say, let my people go, who's the my behind that? And God gave him a sentence, really, I am what I am, where we get the term Jehovah or Yahweh. But in one sense, without a name, it makes God somewhat inaccessible or distant or not relatable. But it has always been his intention to be accessible to us, to those whom he loves. He is not a distant God that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So it's significant that God was then given a name, and his name makes him accessible, and it identifies who he is and what he can do. And so I kind of see in the phrase, his name shall be called, an opportunity, maybe even a command, to call upon him when I have a need. He has made himself accessible to us through prayer, and we can call upon the name of the Lord anytime that we need him. And aren't you thankful for that? One old song said, he's as close as the mention of his name. And calling upon God, or prayer as we call it, is a significant event or instance, so much so that the Bible tells us when it first began to happen. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Prayer was made because God is accessible. God responds to prayer. He hears prayer. And so men began to call upon it. It's to pray or to cry out to him. And Scripture's filled with examples of calling upon the Lord. Psalm 18 and verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. When I call upon the Lord, the psalmist said, so shall I be saved from my enemies. When I call on him, that very act, me reaching out to him and calling upon him, I will be saved because his name was meant to be called. I'll be saved from my enemies. Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. And call upon me, the Lord says, in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Call upon me, the Lord says. Pray, cry out to me, ask me. Brother Tapia preached on that on Sunday in the 11 o'clock service. It's time to ask. Call upon me, ask me what I want to do. Call upon my name in the day of trouble. Doesn't have to be a good day. Doesn't have to be a perfect day. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Psalm 91 verse 15 says, he shall call upon me, the one in trouble, the one in distress, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. The Lord invites us to call upon him. He's made himself accessible to us. He is not distant. He's not pushing us away. He's not some transcendent God way up in the heavens and we're here lowly on earth separated from him for eternity. No, he has made himself accessible to us through prayer. We can call upon him. And he hasn't just made himself accessible to us, but when God hears us, when we call upon him, God hears us. When we call upon him, he's not just given himself a name and allowed us to be able to call upon him, but he hears us when we do call him. Now I know you have that person in your life. If you have kids, it's probably one of them. They have a name, so they're accessible. Yet you call their name and nothing happens. The pitter-patter of little feet does not begin. The, yes, ma'am, what do you want? Does not happen. The, huh, what'd you say? Doesn't even happen. I got a witness in the DeLong box suite back there. You call the name time after time, and nothing happens. Or maybe it's the reverse, and it's mom, 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 dad, dad, mom. And it's just repetitive, just keeps going, and there's this like selective hearing thing that's happening, and you know when it's time to really answer. Using the name, but not really gaining the attention. We don't have that problem with God. He's made himself accessible to us, and he hears us every time we call upon him. Psalm chapter 3 and verse 4 says, David saying, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. When I called, you have to understand the context of what David is saying there. He's already said in verses 1 and 2, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there are that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, you're a shield for me. You're my glory. You're the lifter up of my head. And then he says, I cried unto the Lord with all of these many against me in my day of trouble when my family situation wasn't all that it should be. I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. Does anybody have that testimony tonight? You were in some trouble. You were in some distress. But when you called upon the Lord, you know that he heard you. Amen. I cried to the Lord and he heard me. So we don't have that accessibility or that attention problem with God. When we call his name, he hears us and he responds to us. And so particularly in what we call the Christmas story, we see the phrases, his name shall be called or you shall call his name used. And these names are providing not just an identity, but they are providing access to something. And the first thing that we have access to is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name of Jesus, meaning Jehovah, is salvation. And there's a lot of things that Jesus saves us from. And aren't we so very glad? Brother Buddy mentioned it a while ago. Some of us who have been saved, had our sins forgiven, we still get into some messes. We still get into some things that we need God to save us from. We need him to rescue. And his name is Jehovah is salvation. So we can call upon the name of Jesus when we get into something we need saved from. But the greatest salvation is that salvation from sin. He may not save me from every bump and scrape and storm and problem and loss or issue, but he has saved me from my sin. So I have every reason to be grateful and to worship him and to trust him, because the greatest need of my life is the need to be forgiven of my sins, to be rescued and to be saved from my sin. And I recognize that I'm talking to a group in the room who have experienced that grace and that salvation. And so you may be saying, well, Amber, then this isn't for me. But the greatest need in our lives is the need to be forgiven of sins. The greatest need of our lives is not comfort. The greatest need of our lives is not the absence of pain. And the greatest need of my life is not for my suffering to stop. The greatest need in my life is my need of a Savior with grace and mercy to forgive me of my past sins, of my present sins, and hopefully fewer future sins. But if we get the mistaken notion that I've already received that salvation, and so now my greatest need for salvation is to be delivered from the trouble that I'm in. No, we need to remember that we are broken. We're always in need of a Savior. We're always in need of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And so let's not get too puffed up, or let's not get too far removed from the fact that we are broken. We are what this amazing grace calls a wretch. We are a sinner simply saved by grace, and we are always in need of salvation. And so for that salvation, we can call on the name of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. In modern English, you should call on the name of Jesus and be saved. If you haven't tonight, if you're here and you have not yet had that initial salvation, or if you're watching online and you have not yet had that initial salvation, Scripture says you should call on the name of the Lord and be saved, because he can deliver from sin. Is there a witness in the house that he can deliver? He can forgive. He can extend grace and mercy on us. And we are all in need of that salvation. So you should call on the name of Jesus and be saved. It's God's plan. He's provided access to salvation through the name of Jesus. And so why not receive it? Why not have access to it? Why not go after it? But maybe you've also got an unsaved loved one that weighs heavy on your heart. And so hear me, hear this opportunity or this command today. You should call on the name of Jesus for that loved one, because the name of Jesus is the name in which there is salvation. It's the only name in which there is salvation, Acts 4:12 says. So we should call on the name of Jesus for those that we're burdened for those that have not yet experienced the power of the saving grace of Jesus. We can call on his name, and we should call on his name for our unsaved loved ones, because here's the reality. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so it's his plan to save, and so we can call on his name for salvation. Secondly, the name he provided gives us access to his presence. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's actually quoting Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So I guess I have two favorite scriptures, which happen to say the same thing. But God with us. Not God away from us, or God separate from us, or God inaccessible to us, but God with us. Perhaps there's a situation going on in your life that is causing you to feel lonely, or something that is going on that's making you feel as if God is 10,000 miles away. In giving the name Emmanuel, he expects us to call on him in those moments. He's not put off by our need. He wants to come close during that need. He's not frustrated with us for feeling the way that we do. He wants to hear about it. He is close to us. He is with us, and he wants us to share those things with him today. And so I encourage you, you can call his name today. You can call his name. It's Emmanuel, and it's God with us. Larry Crabb wrote this in a book entitled The Pressure's Off. He said, "We're safe. Not from bombs or cancer or family heartache, but we're safe from even an inch of separation from the God who is in control of the Emmanuel agenda." So when there are family heartaches in your life, whether it's through loss or situations that are breaking your heart with living loved ones, maybe there's cancer in your family or in your body, when we go through things like that, it can seem as if we're alone and if we are have been separated from God. But Mr. Crabb says, and he is referring to scripture there, we're never an inch separated from the God who said, "I am God with you. I am with you no matter what. I am with you in whatever situation, no matter where and no matter when. I am with you." And we can call on him because he is with us. And he will be with us no matter what we go through or how we got there, when we're there, what the condition is. He is always with us. And we know this from Psalm 139, verses 8 through 10. Say this: "If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, where no one else is, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Jesus would say it this way in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God's got an even there for everywhere you are. If you are in despair, God is even there. If you are in turmoil and confusion, God is even there. If you are in uncertainty and indecision, God is even there. If there's loss in your life or in the life of your family, God is even there. Sometimes we can relegate God to the good places. We can relegate God to the whole places. But we separate him and make him inaccessible in our minds in the broken places. When we feel broken and when we feel worthless and when we feel insecure, when we perhaps are doubting, we would separate ourselves from the God who said, "No, I'm the God with you." So there's an even there for everywhere that you find yourself in whatever situation. And he said, his name would be called Emmanuel. And so we can take advantage of that. We can make that scripture come true. We can fulfill that scripture by calling on him when we feel in those low places, when we feel distant and separate from him. We can call upon him and know that he is with us. And finally, back to our opening verse. "For unto us a child is born and a son is given. The government is on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This verse encompasses a lot, so we won't go through all of it. A lot of our needs would fit into this verse today. His name shall be called Wonderful. That's a praise word. And praise, as we've experienced tonight, gets our eyes off of us and off of the trouble that's around us, and it puts our eyes on Him. Great are You, Lord. I didn't hear anybody singing the verse of that song saying, great are my struggles, great are my problems. No, we're putting our focus and our attention on Him because His name shall be called Wonderful. There's praise, and that praise allows us to lose sight of all of the things that are going on around us for a few moments and begin to focus upon Him. And yes, we're going to have to go back to looking at those things, but we can go back to looking at those things through the lens and through the perspective of how great God is and how mighty He is and how much of a provider He is. And so His name shall be called Wonderful. Things may not be wonderful, but He is. And His name shall be called Counselor. That's for us when we need advice or we need counsel. When we walk a road that we've not walked before. Hello, COVID. When we feel uncertain about what to do, we can call on His name. His name shall be called. His name should be called upon. If you are in a moment of indecision in your life, in your family, or a job situation, and you need advice and you need counsel, you can call. You should call upon the name of the Lord. His name is Counselor. His name is Mighty God. That's for situations that need the miracle working power of God. We heard some of those tonight, Brother Holman, on a ventilator. I'm just going to be honest. When I hear somebody goes on a ventilator, I'm terrified. It feels like a death sentence to me now. But I know a miracle working God. I know a mighty God. And He said, you should call upon My name because I am almighty. I am the healer of all of your diseases. And so I declare for you, Brother Holman, I declare healing in the name of Jesus because the name of Jesus is above every other name, even COVID-19, in Jesus' name. And He shall be called Everlasting Father. That's for our protection and sometimes for our correction and also for our comfort. He is the God of all comfort, as 2 Corinthians 1:3 says. His name should be called if you need comfort or if you need protection in your life. You can call on that Everlasting Father. You should call on His name. Scripture says His name should be called Everlasting Father. And finally, Prince of Peace. For when life gets tumultuous, we have a name that we can call, and He is the Prince of Peace, and He speaks peace. Psalm 85 says, for I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people. He is the Prince of Peace, and He can speak into your life, into strife, perhaps in your family or relationships. He can speak peace if you call His name. If you call His name and there's agitation in your life, He is the Prince of Peace. If there's distress or if there's confusion in your life, call on the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus gives power. And the name of Jesus is the name of the One who said, I am the Prince of Peace. So whatever situation that you're in today, or that you are burdened about, maybe it is not your situation, maybe it's a family or friend, coworker that you're burdened about, there is a name that we can call. And it's a name that shall be or should be called. It was intended to be called upon. It identifies and it provides access to everything that we have need of. And I know that because the One who bears that name said this in Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. All power. Jesus, the bearer of that name, made this claim, made this not just a claim, made just this truth statement and said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. All power meaning all kinds of power. Every type of power and every amount of power, God has it. And His name is Jesus. I want us to go to prayer here tonight, and we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it in those three categories. Salvation, the presence of the Lord, and you can pick one of the descriptors in 9:6, whether you need a counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, or the Prince of Peace. And we're going to take some time and pray and cover the needs that perhaps you are burdened with or frustrated over or confused about. But if there's anybody in here that's praying for a lost loved one for salvation, would you raise your hand? If there's somebody in your life that you would like to see saved, why don't we take their names right now to the name that's above every name? Lord, you have said that we can call upon your name for salvation. And so we do that right now. We pray the name of Jesus. We pray that these individuals would come to a saving relationship, that they would begin to know you, that they would know you as their Savior, that they would come to you humbly in faith and in repentance, and that they would have their sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I pray that you would extend your grace and extend your mercy to these that are represented by hands all over this room. You know every name, oh God. You know the multiple names that are being prayed right now. You know the individuals. I pray that you'd go to where they are. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them as their Savior. I pray that they would recognize their need for a Savior and that you would come through. And I know that you want to, because you're not willing that any would perish. And I pray for salvation in the name of Jesus, God, for every family member, for every backslider, for everyone that has once known you but has walked away. I pray, oh God, that within your grasp that you would reach them, Lord. They're not too far beyond the reach of your arm, for you can reach further than we could ever go. And I pray that you would do that right now in the name of Jesus. Your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. There's no individual that's outside of your grace and your mercy. God, we call upon you. We call upon you tonight. We call on that name of salvation in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Maybe you're in a situation where you feel distant from God, or you feel you are alone, or in some aspect separated from the Lord. He said his name should be called Emmanuel. It is God with us. I want us to take those needs. If there's any needs like that in the house, would you lift your hand if you need the Lord, if you need to feel the Lord close, if you just feel like you want him in your situation that you're currently in, would you raise your hand? Thank you for those that are raising their hands. If you would notice hands across the building, why don't you extend a hand to these, and let's pray right now. Let's call upon Emmanuel, God with us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for these tonight that are walking through situations and they feel alone or they feel distant. I pray, oh God, that you would come close, that they would recognize that you are close with them, that they would begin to feel you closer than they've ever felt you before. God, that you would speak to them in their quiet moments, oh Lord, that you would begin to talk with them, that you begin to reveal yourself in ways never known to them before. In the name of Jesus, God, reveal your love and reveal your presence right now. We call on that name Emmanuel. We claim the promise that it holds, that it is God with us. We are not alone in our situation. We are not alone in the desperateness of our life. Oh God, you are with us. We are never without you. I pray that you would go to those watching online that maybe have raised their hand, or at least this has sparked in their spirit. I pray that you would minister to them as well, God. Let them feel you close right now in their living rooms or in their kitchens, wherever they may be watching this live stream. I pray that you would go to them in the name of Jesus. Let them feel you close. Let them feel you close, Lord. You are as close as the mention of your name, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And finally, if you need wisdom for a situation, if you need the counselor, would you raise your hand? There's hands being raised. If you need the mighty God, if you need the miracle working power, there's something that can only he can do, only he can work it out. Hands all over the room. If you need protection or comfort, if you need the everlasting Father, why don't you lift your hand? If you need the Prince of Peace, let's call on the name of the Lord. He said that we should do it, so let's do it with boldness. I pray in Jesus' name all over this house, oh God. You know every need, God. None of them are hidden from you. Your eyes are not blinded and your ears are not deaf. You see that we are in need, and I pray all over this room, oh God, and those watching online, that you would go to where they are, that you would be a counselor, that you would give advice, and that you would give that wise counsel in the name of Jesus, that you give direction for the road that they are walking in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, for miracle working power. Let there be the working of miracles. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Let them operate right now in this room in the name of Jesus. There is miracle working power in your name when we call call upon it as we are doing right now. We're calling in faith, Lord. You said that you're a miracle worker, and we believe that you are. You've proven that you are, and we pray for those that need protection and comfort right now. I pray that you, the everlasting Father, would minister to those that need that protection, that need comfort in their lives. Oh God, come close to them during this time. And for those that need peace, I pray the peace of the Holy Ghost. I pray the peace of the Spirit would minister right now in the name of Jesus. You're able to calm every tumultuous thought. You're able to calm the turmoil that goes on in our minds and that goes on in our spirits. You're able to calm agitation and strife between family members, oh God. You're able to bring peace, and I pray that you would do it in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every name, in the name that should be called. We should call upon you. We don't have to be afraid to call upon you. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to be lost in indecision. We don't have to believe the lies of the enemy that say he will not hear you. You will hear us. You will answer, and you will respond. You will give peace unto your people. You will come close to us. You will provide salvation, and we thank you. And now would you end this with a praise to that name? Why don't you stand to your feet and give him praise right now that he is worthy of? If you know that he's heard you, if you know that he's hearing and responding, why don't we praise him like it's already done? Jesus, we worship you. Yes, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We know that you are able. Oh, we can call upon you. Thank you for access to your presence. Thank you for access to your power, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And his name should be called, and not just in this room, but whenever you need him, you can call his name. You can call his name for salvation, just to know that he's there and to feel his presence. Or if you need him to counsel you, work a miracle, protect, or to bring peace into your situation, call him no matter where you are, because there's an even there for everywhere you are. Let's one more time thank him for his presence and his help tonight. Lord, we thank you for your name. We thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Thank you, oh God, that you've given us access to your presence, oh God. Given us access to your power through your name, Lord.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Amber, to use your word for good preaching tonight. We appreciate that. And as it was pointed out, the name of Jesus can be invoked anytime, anywhere. Anytime, anywhere. I know we have called on him in this place, but you're not going to be limited when you leave here all through the remainder of this week. Anytime, anywhere, you can magnify the name, give it the glory it so richly deserves. You can call on the name for yourself, for others, various needs, whatever the circumstances, as was told us tonight. And of course, we can also share that name, because not everybody knows the power of it with respect to salvation. And so as we have time and opportunity, we can do that in various places and with certain individuals that we meet. So thank God for his name. Amen. And certainly that we know it.